Welcome to Live's a Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... I am going to punch the sun.
That's some confidence right there.
Yeah.
I am going to
that
punch
one was
the
from
sun.
Joe Thompson. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Friend
Thanks,
of the
Joe
show.
For that one.
Been on the show. Go and listen to that episode after you finish listening to this episode. And then go and listen to all of Frank's other episodes. Frank Margarella, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
We're doing a martial arts episode this week. So I am going to punch the sun. I was about to do the wrong intonation there. I was going to say, I am going to punch the sun, but it's not right, is it, Tom?
No, I am going to punch the sun.
I'm assuming, by the way you said that, that am is in capitals.
Yep. Yeah, thanks so for coming back on, Frank.
Yeah, it's no problem. I'm glad to be here.
Frank Margarella of the Fan Cannon Podcast.
That's me.
Do you want to give the listeners a little taster synopsis of what you do over there on the Fan Cannon?
Basically this. No, it's a little different. It's a little different. It's a fan fiction podcast where we go on the internet and find terrible fan fiction to read out, or we write our own terrible fan fiction. We take prompts. It's just another P word, people, okay? Jeez. It's not pitches. It's prompts for fan fictions. And we just make up fan fictions as we... between readings of fan fiction. We just yesterday recorded our 1 year anniversary episode. And that'll be released on August 13th. Our most recent episode just came out yesterday. And that is our E3 special, just in time for August.
Oh, nice. That's
amazing. E3 was a while ago.
A little bit. The E3 special is more of a punishment.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that makes sense. Just when you thought you had it out of your head.
Yeah. I do that show with my co-hosts, Kristen Pitts and Hawk Kirshner. They're both wonderful people.
Awesome. And to be honest, like, guys, listeners, if you haven't heard the Fan Cannon, it is genuinely distinct... So distinct, like, that you will still find something new there, but if you like this show, you will find something you like there. Mm. It's got that the right amount of Venn diagram crossover where you're like, this is distinct but good, but similarly good.
Do you like weird psychosexual, like, stories? Like, you like this show? You'll like Fan Cannon.
Do you want to hear some honorable mentions?
I would love to.
We've got one from Ed Crawley, and that is Flailing Fists of Mild Annoyance.
I think, see, I had an idea for this, right? But the problem is it strays a little too far into superhero territory, so I want your help. Because the first thing I thought was, it's someone who can activate their, like, you know, the equivalent of, like, the Dragon Chi power. Like, I am an amazing fight kick punch man.
Hmm.
But only when they're mildly annoyed. When they get really angry, nothing. When they're completely calm, nothing. But when they're just peeved,
it's that mid ground, that gray area.
No, I was imagining, like, you ever see in, like, department stores or whatever, where they have, like, those fake flames which are just tissues that are lit up and that have a fan blowing on them.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He just has that to make it look like he has flaming hands, but he just swipes them in people's faces.
No, he is one of those giant inflatable men.
A wacky waving inflatable arm man.
Yeah, yeah.
A wacky waving flaming arm man.
Yeah.
It's Edward Norton playing one of those guys. Like an inflatable Edward Norton going, his arms flapping around.
Right. I think I've got it. So, establishing shot. We should have a preamble to this, but establishing shot, like, car lot, right? Like a car sales, whatever you call a place where you sell cars.
Cars are us.
Dealerships.
Yeah, car dealership. That's where you deal cars. And there's a wacky waving inflatable arm man outside, and you cut into inside where Edward Norton is sort of like trying to sell a car, but he can't. Like this, he's like, I don't know how Edward Norton speaks, but I'm going to say he's just like real wimpy in this.
He speaks like this.
He speaks really wimpy, so you're good.
Hey, I'm Edward Norton. Why don't you want this Chevy? What's the model again? He looks down at his notes. Chevy Chase. Would you like Chevrolet Chase at all? And they're like, no, it keeps making slightly racist jokes. And then he's like, yeah, but it's a real good car. but it's driving like it's drunk. Yeah. But it's a real good car. You should buy it.
That's his only argument for people unsure on whether to buy a car or not.
And they're like, no, I'm not buying this car. And then he's like, oh, okay. And then so he walks into the office. He's like, I'm sorry, I didn't sell the Chevy Chase again. And then J.K. Simmons is like, you what? You didn't sell the Chevy Chase again? That's been flying off the shelves. Probably that's how people speak about selling cars.
They've also just got cars on shelves.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a really tall building. It's like, it's in a suburban area. So like, there's like no buildings over like two stories, but this one's just like 50 stories high.
Filled with cars.
Towering over everything.
Yeah.
It's called the car shelf. And people have a lot of difficulty getting their cars down.
And
you bought it. You gotta get it down somehow. We ain't helping you.
Meanwhile, there's like Chris Pratt has a back combed hairdo, all greased up, and he's like.
Meanwhile, hey, that's what's happening.
Hey, do you want to buy
this back combed hairdo?
Chrysler doohickey? Yeah, I bet you do. and then someone's like, yeah, I absolutely do, because you said it was good, right? And he's like, yeah, absolutely it is.
I'll pay twice as much for it!
And Jacobson was like, look out there! Look at Cocky Guffin, right? He's the best salesman this place has ever had. Well, of course, since old Creaky died, he was the best car salesman before that, but he died mysteriously, I think. Old Creaky. He's the old creaky. Master in this martial arts movie.
Because I just remembered it's a martial arts film. I should say that again because I really fumbled my words there. I just remembered it's a martial arts film. So, I was thinking he should be the ancient martial arts master, and he comes back.
Yeah, everyone thought he was dead.
Possessing one of the wacky waving inflatable arm guys.
Yeah, the reason old Creaky was so good was because he had this amazing dance that the enthusiasm and movements that made everyone just really, really want to be inside the car and drive it and pay for loads of money for it. So it's an ancient technique.
He did it through dance.
Yeah. No one else has learned since. And so the martial art.
The martial art of selling cars.
Yeah, it's car salesmanship. So like, I don't know. I think the rest sort of writes itself. Like,
does it write itself?
We've set up an old master, a rival, a figure of authority he needs to impress, and now all we need is an event that he needs to train for. And we've basically got the Karate Kid, but for selling cars.
Here's the thing. It just is a karate tournament he has to go to win. Because his boss is also a huge fan of karate.
J.K. Simmons loves seeing people fight. And he's like,
loves karate.
He says, my only problem is with karate is they don't do it to the death.
They don't do it to the death, and they don't sell cars with it.
So when
you two fight now, I'll get an audience.
I can't remember what Chris Pratt's character was called, but like, he's
It's like real cocky something.
Yeah.
Cocky.
I'm gonna call him Cocky Sure.
Cocky Sure.
Cocky Sure. Cocky Sure Junction is his name. Cocky Junction is his, you know, first and last. Sure is his middle name. Cocky S Junction. He's like, you know, oh, I could beat you up in a heartbeat. Edward Norton's character, who we haven't named yet.
His name is Dan Fisto.
Dan Fisto.
He gets trained by old Creaky, who he stumbles across on his way out.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons sends him home because he's not doing him any good. Mm. He's like, you're not getting your paycheck. That's probably illegal in this world. He realizes that the flailing arm man's fallen over. And he trips over it. Like, the flailing arm man's, like, deflated, and it's on the floor, like, only waving a little bit. And he trips over it, and he's like, ah, oh, you damn flailing arm man. What are you doing? Oh, man, I guess I'll pump you back up again before I go home.
Did we say who was voicing Old Creaky?
No, we haven't cast Old Creaky yet.
Tim Curry.
Yeah. I was going to say Paul Bearer, but...
Like, hello there, Mr. Salesman.
Thanks for pumping me back up.
Do you want to know the secret to good car selling?
What is it?
It's free.
I think then we should cut to a dance number.
Yeah.
Song and dance number.
It's like that Tim Curry Halloween bit in The Worst Witch. Like, it's really, really lo-fi. It's so bad. It's him...
with loads of flailing arm men.
Yeah, all superimposed, doing... just copies of flailing arm men, like, superimposed over a green screen, which just has, like, those heater flames. Those tissue heater flames behind him. And he's like,
if you want to sell a car, give me a dance.
And this is happening because J.K. Simmons sent Edward Norton home early. This is still happening during store hours.
Yeah.
Next to this thing.
If you want to raise the bar, just give me a chance to teach you this dance of car selling.
So we're seeing all this superimposed, the heater things, and Edward Norton's in this different world. He's been like almost absorbed into a ghost world type thing. And he's like, oh my God, I don't think I know how to dance, weird, scary man. What are you talking about? He's like, I'm Old Creaky! This is all happening. And by the end of this dance and singing and dancing number, we cut to outside, and Edward Norton's like starting to learn this dance. And you can just see him like bopping from side to side next to this inflatable arm man. Just like a long shot as well. It's a really long shot. And just like you can see the whole car lot, and then you can see the inflatable arm man in the kind of like bottom left hand side of the frame. And then Edward Norton's just like bopping from one leg to another with his arms like a safety dance type thing. Just put one leg next to the other, then to the other side. And that's cut away.
Yeah. Twist is right. You know how they said they got the karate competition at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turns out Edward Norton's just really good at karate.
Well, it is when he...
terrible
he
at selling cars.
He is when he does the dance. That's the thing. He accidentally does the dance. Like, not accidentally. He starts dancing in the middle of a karate tournament. And just the vague way his arms are flailing in this dance happen to be the exact counters for the moves that people are attacking him with.
No, I thought that he just did karate lessons.
And then that whole thing was rubbish.
It has to fulfill two things for this to work. It needs to be mildly annoying and on fire.
Yep.
And it needs to sell cars.
Yeah, that's true. It needs to be mildly annoying. So maybe that's the thing. Maybe the reason that this dance works is because it annoys people into wanting to get away from you so quickly that they buy the car just to be next to a vehicle.
And by the end of the tournament, everyone in the audience has bought a car.
Then set fire to the place that the gym that the tournament's in. They've set fire to the bleachers, you know, the stands. So then, like, they're all like, we got to get out of here. Let's set fire to these bleachers and get away on these new cars we've just bought.
Just got the best ending.
I got to burn this place down.
No, in fact, the karate tournament is inside the car dealership, right? The karate tournament is in there. So everyone just, like, is buying J.K. Simmons' cars as fast as they possibly can because they just want to, like, get away from this dance. And in doing so... Yeah, they're flying off the shelves.
Well, J.K. Simmons at the end of this movie, as his car dealership is burning down, he's on his knees going, "No! Everything I've built!" And then it cuts to, like, a flame sort of vignetted shot of the face of the flailing man. Just... with this giant smile on his face, not talking at all. And then J.K. Simmons is like, "Mr. Creaky!" And without, like, the face moving or anything, he's just smiling the entire time. It's just a drawn-on face. It goes, "You shouldn't have stolen my wife, J.K. Simmons!"
I think the reason the dealership sets on fire is because, Chris Pratt buys the Chevy Chase, and it's so awful that it backfires and sets fire to the car dealership as he drives away. and then that whole thing happens once the whole place is on fire. Like, J.K. Simmons has got so much money because he sold his entire stock of cars in a day, but his dealership's on fire. So, you know, swings and roundabouts, really.
Edward Norton then gets a gun out and shoots Chris Pratt as he's leaving.
And he goes kung fu when he shoots him.
You shouldn't have stolen my wife, Chris Pratt.
Everyone's stolen everyone's wife.
Yeah, in this car dealership.
Listeners will know this, but like regular listeners will know this, but that is a Tom trope for sure. Ending a film.
It's not. I don't think I've ever. Come out with that before.
Ending a film with someone getting a gun out and shooting the person.
Oh yeah, no, that's a trope. Not stealing people's wives. That's a new trope.
I think that you might have done it before. I'm not sure if it's made it into the podcast before, but I think stealing people's wives is also a trope.
It's just a dramatic beat.
Yeah, so is the random shooting of people on the other end of the film.
When I need to end a film.
As long as he says karate when he shoots him, it still counts as a martial arts film.
Okay, so we've got one from Sarah Harrison, and that is Passive Aggressive Panda.
Can this be almost unofficial spin-off to Kung Fu Panda? Because it's 60% of the writers of Kung Fu Panda got fired, and they were like, "Oh, we don't have the rights anymore." And we hate DreamWorks so much now that we're gonna go and form our own studio and make a similar, very similar, like eerily similar franchise about a panda, but it keeps making references. It's about a panda that wants to be who does martial arts
in a martial arts movie.
he's a martial arts actor. A panda who's a martial arts actor, and the studio is just awful place to work.
What? Like a real life action film where we get a panda to act?
Yeah. I know this is it works visually, but it probably won't work great in the pitch form. But basically, this film presupposes that Jack Black as the Kung Fu Panda is an actor. At DreamWorks.
So is this going to be like the Homeward Bound of Kung Fu movies?
Why not?
Okay.
So we get an actual panda, and he's like whistling as he goes to work. He kisses his wife, And he's voiced by Jack Black, obviously. Mm. And because Jack Black took the writer's side on this. He's right on like that. And
right on! I'm a panda! Yeah!
He kisses his wife, and she says, you're ready for that new role you're doing? You've learned all your lines?
Yeah, I'm ready to be a panda!
Anna Kendrick's playing his wife.
Yeah, of course.
She says, well, have a good time. It's a big break for you. You're going to do real well. I know you're going to do well. I have faith in you. I think you're a real great person.
Wait, hang on. Right.
Good job.
Is she married to Jack Black, or is she married to the panda?
No, Jack Black is the panda.
Jack Black's...
This is all playing on, like, stock footage of animals to save on costs, and they are just paying these actors to do just talk over the film, pretending to be those animals.
Yeah, Tom, it's like
just
Homeward
like they
Bound.
Did in Homeward
seen,
Bound.
You never seen Homeward Bound?
Yeah, yeah.
Where you get animals to do various bits
right.
and bobs.
So for a second,
talks over it.
I got confused there. I was just like, is this Anna Kendrick and Jack Black as real people acting in a house? Or is it just two pandas in like a panda enclosure?
Two pandas voiced by Anna Kendrick and Jack Black.
Gotcha. Right. Because I was just like, I'm pretty sure Jack Black's the only person who's been sort of cast as a panda.
Just
Anna Kendrick married to this panda voiced by Jack Black. I like that more. If anything.
I mean, apart from, of course, I think Jack Black was the only panda in Kung Fu Panda. Apart from in Kung Fu Panda 2, Kung Fu Panda with an ER.
Kung Fu Panderer.
Yeah.
Third film.
Yeah, of course. Which is basically just the panda from Kung Fu Panda sat in a dark room with a spotlight on him saying, what would you like to hear from this movie? I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. And so this is a passive-aggressive panda, and he is just... He fights everything in a very passive-aggressive way.
Like, yeah. He's sort of like... when anyone ever challenges him, he never challenges anyone to a fight. Yeah. He just sort of, like, says, oh, right, you want to fight me.
He wins on his own battleground. And it's just like it's just
gets beaten to a pulp.
Yeah.
And that's the pseudo moral high ground. Like he will goad people into fighting him, and then say, "Oh, you're gonna fight me? Oh, violence is your only resort, huh?"
really good way of solving things.
Oh yeah,
I'm a panda.
Mature, real mature.
I mean, yes. That's me trying to do a Jack Black impersonation. It's good, very bad.
It's,
my Jack Black and my Danny DeVito are shockingly similar. I'm a panda!
He gets to Dreamsmith's studio lot. And he gets there and they're... I don't know, they're being real shits about everything. And he has to just... It's just like The Office, really.
So
it's like you got to sort of... It's just embarrassing moments where there's long pauses all the time.
Ian McKellen's like, I want to see you do some pandering to me. It's like, oh. So, like, fighting? No. I want to... favor from you. And
not like where this is going.
So will you give me a warm cup of coffee?
And
Jack Black's like, oh, it's not hot. Right.
And Jack Black's like, oh yeah, of course. Yeah, great. Make the panda make the coffee. Oh, nothing stereotypical about that.
There isn't. Like, Matt, there isn't anything stereotypical about
it's racist, Tom. Ian McKellen's being racist by assuming
that
Kung Fu Panda makes good coffee.
Universe, it is racist.
Yeah.
That's a very stereotypical thing. So where's that going?
Why don't we bring out all the other stereotypes, huh? Doesn't fuck his wife ever, huh? You want that one?
There's nothing wrong with me and my wife's sexual relationship.
Racism.
And so, and here's the thing: because of all of, are we just going to call him Poe? Is this what we're just going to call the character?
Let's call him Poe.
Poe Bear.
Yeah. So because of Poe, because of Poe's passive aggressiveness, his wife is leaving him, and he says, "Oh, Ian McKellen, you stole my wife."
It's not a trope.
I've been influenced by Palace of Grass.
Yeah, and it was that bit in Boss Baby where someone steals someone's wife.
Where the boss baby steals his wife.
It was a wife stealing based economy.
I fought for that scene to go into Boss Baby, but they said people won't get it. You haven't released a podcast episode with that bit in.
So we need. Where does this plot go?
I feel like passive aggressive panda just flips out. Like he just completely goes haywire and burns Dreamsmith Studios to the ground.
I mean, this could be like a panda that goes from being ultra aggressive to learning how to be passive aggressive.
Yeah, good idea. Because
you know, it wasn't you got like a kung fu panda that went to being a non kung fu panda. He's got to become the kung fu panda. This one's got to become the passive aggressive panda.
Yeah, so he's
originally just a huge asshole all the time. He's just completely aggressive.
Well, that's how he's trying to solve his problems, right? So he is going like calling everyone racist whenever they do anything, like and even though he might be right, you know, he's got these honest grievances, right? The problem is that he's addressing them in a way that is completely over the top. He's just always angry.
Mm.
Cap.
Because he ain't getting laid. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. So he gets fired from his job at Dreamsmith Studios because he punches Ian McKellen out of a window. at which point he's reaches the lowest point where he's like, I got all this fighting power, but the power to change things, but I my wife's leaving me, and I punched Ian McKellen out a window, and I've got no job. And
he's sat in a shrink's office. He goes for, what's it? Anger management. It's basically the plot of Anger Management.
Film Anger Management.
But with a panda.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson plays his therapist, weirdly.
Giraffe therapist.
Giraffe Nicholson.
he's like, you know what? You need to.
I just don't understand. If you're angry all the time, it's just going to blow up in your face. You need to learn how to be a little more passive with your aggression. You understand?
And that's the scene that turns him.
Yeah, there's a training montage where it's like push it to the limit, but then the song push it to the limit, but then it's like push it to the limit, da, 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 da. Don't go quite as far as that. Bring it back. You gotta make it okay with everyone. You know, it's just sort of like
push it a little bit back. You gotta calm down.
Push it near the limit.
That venom in you. Just make it passive aggressive.
push it near the limit is something we're gonna have it.
Near the limit.
Recorded.
Push it near the limit. Don't go too far this time.
That's my pitch for next episode. Push it near the limit.
So anyway, he learns, what's he doing in the montage where he's training? Is he just going to like, he's going to customer, you get a scene of him like going to a customer service desk and then
a coffee shop. He's like, excuse me, I ordered this with soy milk. And someone's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'll go make them right away." He's like, "Yeah, whatever. Not like I have like a whole day to spend on you making a new one, but whatever."
And then Jack, this is the end of the montage.
Yeah, that's when he's successful. Like you get scenes before that of him like talking to being pulled over by police and like
losing his shit. Just losing his shit.
He's like breathing out, and he breathes and breathes during while Push It Near the Limit is playing, and he just, you can see him breathing in and out and closing his eyes, and then the cop gets right, like leans in, and then you just see cut away, and you just see the cop flying out like Team Rocket style into the stars.
And like when he's finally successfully being passive aggressive, they just cut to Giraffe Nicholson just like leaning back in the coffee table with his sunglasses, just giving him a thumbs, and just like.
you did great kid.
He's like, "Oh yeah, you give me the compliments now." Even better than I thought.
So he goes home. I think the final scene should be just him getting down with his wife.
Yeah. Yes.
Whole 15 minute scene.
He goes, you want to have sex, honey? And she says, I don't know. And he's like, yeah, it's not like we haven't had sex in ages. And she's like,
it's not like we're going extinct or anything like that, you know.
And then in like large, like exploding onto the screen, boom, 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 boom. Passive aggressive panda. Subtitle, Push It Near the Limit.
Yeah. The end of Act 1.
Act 1 out of 30.
Thank you again, guys, for your contributions. Remember, you can find us on facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast, and on Twitter as well, at Life's a Pitch Show. If you want to give us titles any time of the week, just give us them. We usually ask for a genre based around the titles you give us. That's on Friday or Saturday. Just look out for the prompt. And if you want to decide on the genre, where can they help decide on the genre, Matt?
They can go to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast and help the show out for as little as $1 a month. You can go up from there to get extra little bonus bits. You can get a whole extra pitch every week for a little bit more money. But if you just wanna give us a token of support, if you saw us in real life, if you would buy us a drink, that's a good, like, or if you'd buy us a coffee, or if you're meeting us or whatever, then that's a good point at which you could say, yeah, you know what, I don't mind helping the show out, helping them get new equipment, move on to bigger and better things to make more entertainment for you guys, which we always, always, always will give out free.
If you were to walk down the street and you see Matt and Tom begging for money because they have completely bankrupted themselves doing this show, so hungry, and you would give them a few dollars, just do it through Patreon.
We'll pitch a film for food.
We got turned away at every job.
That sounds like a homeless person on the streets of LA.
You were like an old tattered business suit. I'll pitch films for food.
We've got like a typewriter in front of us. We're like, listen, it's all I know how to do. You've got to give me a chance. We're sat outside the Disney lot, just sort of like, please.
Stephen, Mr. Spielberg, listen to my idea and give me a sandwich.
It's about a young boy in Middle America. Okay, I'm listening.
Okay, so to run through the last few, from Daniel Pitts, we've got Pauline, Hoothers of Death. One from Dwatagu, and that is Dragon's Stance. The Dragon's Stance. From Phil Walters, we've got The Kicker Man. From John Ramsey, we've got The Curse of the Family Lee. Bullet Time, No Invento.
What?
Yeah, that's the title.
That sounds like a Japanese video game.
And the last one, from Bobby Anderson, we've got Wax On, Wax Off, A Story of Karate and Cultural Standards of Beauty.
That is something I would actually watch.
Yeah, me too.
It sounds like a not a biography, documentary.
Yeah.
Like a kung fu documentary. I would actually watch that.
Okay, so now on to our main pitch, which is from Joe Thompson. I am going to punch the sun.
They are going to punch the
sun. They are.
You can't stop them.
Right. I've been thinking of this, right? This could easily be a... you know how when kids say they're going to do something?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be an astronaut.
No, you're not.
And then...
Let's be honest. You're going to be a postman.
And then someone... Well, and then one of them just says, I'm thinking, like, it could be a young Karen Gillan says to her parents, like, she wakes up, right, looks at the sun as a little kid. She wakes up, looks at the sun out of a window.
She's angry.
Yeah, she is fuming. Like, absolutely just red in the face, angry. Like,
Wait, hang on. Can we cut back a little bit?
Yeah.
The night before, at school, they're doing a topic at school about what you're going to do when you're older.
Mm.
And she just doesn't know. She doesn't know.
Yeah.
She doesn't know. She's like, I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm older. I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm older. I just don't know. All right? I've got no, absolutely no idea. Because I'm 8 years old. And frankly, I think it's a little bit... unrealistic to expect me to know what I'm doing when I'm older.
She then goes out into the playground and gets burned by the sun.
Well, no, like, that she's working late into the night. She's, like, looking through employment manuals and stuff because her mum and dad are, like...
3 years old!
You've got to... She's eight years old.
8 years old.
And
still
you've got,
funny.
She's like, her mum and dad are like, you've got to know. You've got to know what you're going to do when you're older, otherwise you're going to die. You're going to be poor. Poor is bad. And then, so she's like looking through like employment stuff and like trying to figure out what she wants to be. And she falls asleep and, you know, anyway, cut to morning. Bright light streams in through the, through the blinds because her dad's just opened them and he's like, I see you didn't find out what you wanted to do. What are you gonna do? And she goes, I'm gonna punch the sun.
She looks at the sun, fist shakes at the sun, and then her dad just goes, we will support you no matter what you want to do.
Best parents in all of film.
Mm.
So angry until she made that weird decision.
Yeah, and then he calms down and then just goes...
Who plays her dad?
Sean Connery.
Okay, good idea.
I'll support you in whatever you want to do. My young daughter.
My young daughter.
You're the man now, dog.
We'll support you in whatever you want to do. As long as it's not decide what you want to do.
So
indecision is the bane of mankind. Charlemagne, probably.
Indecision makes me very angry, as you know, Doctor. But if you decide what you want to do, I will support you in everything that you aspire to, including punching the sun.
So, yeah, she grows up to become Karen Gillan, working for NASA.
She's destined to be.
Yep, destined to be Karen Gillan, working for NASA.
Yeah.
Okay. And I feel, okay, are we going to have this where, like, the sun is a real problem that needs to be punched? Or are we going to just have this sort of be like...
It's her secret mission.
No, this
She's
is...
She's meant to just, like, go to the space station, but she escaped. It's like the opposite of gravity.
Right, we could either do that, or I think my original thought when I read this was we can either have her just like escape, have her own mission, or everyone in NASA is helping her achieve this goal.
Yeah.
Sean Connery is the director of NASA.
He's been like, we'll support you so much, I'll become the director of NASA.
No. It's not It's very confusing. He's her father. Sean Connery's playing her father. He's also playing the head of NASA.
No, I think...
Very different people.
No, I think she was... Like, the reason she wants to punch the sun is because he's already filled her full of ideas of celestial bodies that need punching. Like, he's telling her horrible things.
I punched Cthulhu once.
Did you know that did you know that Neptune called you a bitch?
It's like, Dad, I'm six.
Listen, I'm just telling you the truth.
Drink your whiskey.
He's been doing this to her whole life. Like, Pluto says you're smaller than him. It's like, Dad, he is. I am.
Pluto may not be a planet, but Pluto, you know what? You want to know what Pluto said about you? Said, I may not be a planet, but you're nothing. You're nothing, Karen Gillan, child.
I'm not your planet. Or at least I'm not you.
So I want to say that she, like, they go... And so she doesn't tell him that she wants to punch his son. She, like, keeps it to herself. She hijacks a NASA mission to Mars. Like, she gets herself... She becomes an astronaut.
But Mars, that's the other way.
Gets herself onto a Mars mission and then slingshots herself, her entire shuttle around Mars to throw it into the sun. And then while they're traveling...
But on the spaceship is a whole lot of crew that know that if she does punch the sun, they will all die.
Yeah. She's literally hijacked this mission.
So she has completely lost it, right?
Yeah.
At this point, we're going to get a little bit more realist here. Everyone was like, she's lost it. She's locked herself in the pilot's room, in the cockpit. We can't get to her. She's going to drive us into the sun so she can punch it. She's so determined. We even might want to support her a little bit, but no, we will die.
In fact, she's like, she's so, you see her, she's walking on the outside of the ship. You know, she's got her, like, astronaut suit on. Space suit on, and she's walking along the outside.
This is a kung fu film,
with
by
her
the way.
Magnetic boots. I'm getting there.
It's not anymore.
She's building.
It's a hard sci-fi.
She's building, trying to build a big fist on the front of the rocket, right? and all these other astronauts are coming in to try and stop her. So she's like, and they're doing this on the outside. They've all got magnetic boots on the outside of the ship, and they're doing. She's trained herself. You get flashbacks every now and again because it's one of those films, you know? It's one of those films where things happen in kind of real time, but every now and again you'll cut away to what happened in the past for the motivations of this sort of stuff.
Flashbacks.
Lost. Lost. Sorry? Yeah.
Flashbacks.
Yeah. But it's like the flashbacks are integral to the narrative.
Okay, so we open with her hijacking the spaceship. And then cut back to all her backstory.
Yep. In one of which she's learning how to do kung fu while in high gravity with mag boots on.
To punch the sun, my daughter, you must first punch yourself. If you cannot punch yourself, you cannot punch the sun.
There's an entire scene.
He is her kung fu mentor.
She spends a load of time punching shelves, and he's like, I said shelf. I said,
I understand
yourself.
It's very confusing with the way I talk, my daughter.
I just love the idea of like a 10 minute montage of Karen Gillan stood in a Scottish field hitting herself.
He walks in a cape and a rocket hat on, and he says, "I'm the head of NASA."
The scene cuts there. It's not explained.
I'm not.
There's loads of these scenes. There's loads of these scenes where he like walks in and he says, "To punch the sun, you must first punch yourself." Charlemagne, probably. Just like makes up quotes. He's just like he's a dick. He's just a weird dick.
We've already covered a lot of horrible topics. What's child abuse compared to all that? I mean, it's pretty bad, but...
So anyway, cut back to her literally like grabbing a guy's ankles. She like does this cool roll. She disengages her mag boots, does a cool space flip over to the back of this guy, disengages his mag boots as she re-engages her own, and then spins him round by the ankles and throws him into space like Anne Hathaway.
Okay.
What happens next? That's me done.
So she's...
I like the idea of doing kung fu in outer space with magnet boots. That's good. Mm. That is some good idea for combat. Kung fu combat.
Yep.
Spins the guy overhead, throws him into Mercury, where he lands and dies.
So there's also a plot. There's like, we gotta have someone who's on the sort of side of I don't want to die, who's also good, right? Who's a point of view character? So
Jessica Chastain.
Jessica Chastain, yes. Mm. Just lots of ginger people in this film, apparently. Yeah.
This explains why they want to punch the sun.
Yeah. She's kind of like, I'm on board, however, we do need the sun.
So she, while this is happening...
Wait, hang on. Right, I said, we do need the sun, as if Karen Gillan punching the sun would destroy the sun.
So we have an idiot on board. Aside from Karen Gillan.
She's like, you know what, I want... This is fine. You want to punch the sun, I'm your best friend, we've been best friends for years, fine, we went to academy together, but we got to find a way to stay alive. So she's working on... she's building a little tiny rocket that can get him off, like an escape pod. It doesn't look like it's going to work, but, like, just before... I'm going with the climax of the film is going to be sort of like they end up sending this fist rocket into the sun, succeeding in punching the sun. I want to say Karen Gillan probably goes down with the ship while everyone else gets away. But, like, before that happens... Jessica Chastain and Karen Gillan have a hug.
Aww.
Like
a zero-G hug.
Yeah, they're like
fancy. And it flashes back to when they were kids and they hugged back then. It's a little callback. Immediately after callback.
They're fighting and there's because she's like, you can't kill Doom us all. I won't let you kill yourself just trying to punch the sun. She's like, do you know how much it hurts having sunburn in Scotland?
And it cuts to them hugging and Sean Connery just on the sofa going, I'm watching Police Academy 4. And then cuts. Yeah. He's wearing a cape. And then...
He's better than you. He really is the bad guy.
Yeah.
He is. The real villain is a guy who convinced his daughter to punch the sun. Oh, she didn't convince her. He encouraged her.
That's the finale. Chastain manages... She gets beaten up by Karen Gillan, very just, right? Forget the escape pod thing. That's a subplot that never comes to fruition, apart from near the end, right? When they end up working together, because Jessica Chastain, beaten to a bloody pulp and oxygen leaking out of her space suit, says, you know, the sun isn't the real bad guy. Your dad is. And then suddenly there's a flash and Karen Gillan says, you're right. We've got to punch my dad. And then
they turn
the rocket around and they get in there. They both work this montage of them, all the astronauts going, yeah, the head of NASA really is a douche. We've all thought so all along. They all get into the escape. They all build this escape pod and just fly this fist-shaped rocket into his house.
In Scotland.
I'm now on the Police Academy 5.
And they all float to safety in this escape pod that they released at the last moment. The sun doesn't get punched.
No. But
you know what? That's okay.
Mm.
Because sometimes our parents are our sun. S-U-N. Not in that weird, like, psychosexual family way.
Well, the reason... I guess at some point we find out the reason that he was treating Karen Gillan so badly is because he wanted a son.
It doesn't still explain the title, really, but...
No, but, like, there's a bit where she says, I wanted to punch the son. I'm figuratively punching my dad's idea of a son.
Maybe he just lets it slip out one time when Karen Gillan's like really, really annoyed him, and he's just like, I am going to punch the son. Oh, wait, the daughter. And no, that's where she gets the idea from.
When she's a kid, this is it. This is the root of it all. When she's a kid, she overhears him saying to her mum, I wanted a son instead. And she's like, and Karen Gillan takes this to mean she wanted, because she's reading a book about that, a big book about the sun, a big NASA book about the sun. She says,
written by NASA.
He wanted a son. Oh no.
I'm going to punch the sun.
Yeah. And there you go. That's it.
There you go. Thanks, Joe Thompson, for the title. I am going to punch the sun.
I am going to punch the sun.
She didn't. I am going to punch the sun.
It's fine. She didn't, but it's fine because now she can get therapy.
It's a twist ending because she didn't punch the sun.
It sort of ends like Kill Bill, but sort of begins like nothing that's ever been made.
The sun. They reviewed it.
I like the idea. I like the idea at the end.
Her father is both the head of NASA and the head of the sun.
He stood outside looking at this rocket approaching him, because obviously he's got a NASA report that it's coming. And then he's like, you can't beat me! I'm the head of NASA! I am the sun!
So yeah, thanks again, Joe Thompson, for that title. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Where else can people listen to the podcast, Matt?
You can go over to soundcloud.com/Lives of Pitch podcast to find everything that we've ever done. All sorts. 130 episodes. Can you believe it? All of them free. And in addition to 130 episodes, a butt ton of deleted scenes as well, which comes out every Monday. Some people say it's the better podcast, but you kind of need to know who we are to kind of get it. That's fine. Go over there. If you enjoy this podcast, you will definitely enjoy that podcast, because we do all sorts of... we take questions now, which you can send over to livesofpitchpodcast@gmail.com, which we very, very rarely gets any use, but we do check it. And also, we often put up posts on Facebook and stuff to ask for questions as well. So if you want to ask us any questions, if you want to hear some questions asked of us, then you can go and listen to the deleted scenes as well.
Mm. The questions range from stuff like, what's your favourite movie of all time, to David Duchovny's lips? Huh?
So, yeah.
How about them?
To which the answer is, his lips are out there. anyway... You can, of course, go over and follow us at Lives of Pitch Show. You can find the Facebook at facebook.com/Lives of Pitch podcast. And other than that, you can follow us on Instagram at Lives of Pitch Show. We do all sorts of stuff on Instagram. We do little videos now when we finish recording. Sometimes we summarize the movies, so you can get a little preview if you go and follow us on Instagram. Frank, where can people find you? Where can people find your podcast?
Oh, well, you can find me on Twitter at Frank Margarella. That's MARGARELLA. You can find my podcast, The Fan Cannon, I think it's thefancannon.libsyn.com, and also our website, thefancannon.com, and also on the network that we're on, Podhaven. I can go to indiehaven.com and find their podcasts around there. Check out the other podcasts that are on there. You can also find us on Twitter at Fan Cannon Show. That's Cannon with C-A-N-O-N.
Go over there, subscribe over there, do the things. Make sure you check that podcast out, because it is a lot of fun. But until you decide that your true career destiny is to punch a celestial body out of the sky and doom yourself and a load of skilled astronauts to certain death, I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Tom McGrath.
And I'm going to the doctor to check out this split side I got from laughing too much.
Remember who pitched it.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.